I should have said something a little bit earlier, but those of you visiting with us, you received a visitor's packet. If you don't mind filling that out and putting as much information as you're comfortable with and putting in the offering plate, that's all we really want you to, how you participate in the offering. If you haven't had a chance to do that, if you'll still try to do that sometime between now and the end of the service and just slip it to me or my wife or one of these ushers on your way out, and we'll send you a little note, a letter or an email, and just thanking you for being with our service, and we just want to be a help and a blessing to you. And if you need anything, have a prayer request, you can include that on that visitor's card. I'd be happy to help. That's what I'm here for, and I sometimes people don't understand. If you did use one word to describe this question, what would it be? What does sheep need?
Shepherd.
Shepherd, exactly. And that's what a pastor described in the Bible, is a shepherd, and he compares God's people to sheep, and that's what I'm here, just to serve you, to encourage you, and help you by shepherding you, and encourage you in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual life, but I can only do that if you allow me. So again, if you would do your part in putting in that visitor's card, that's the only part we'd ask of you to put in. But as we prepare now to take up our tithes and offerings for our church family to help continue to support the ministry here, we thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Brother Leonard, would you ask God's blessings on the tithes and offering this morning?
Father, thank you so much for this glorious day you gave us, Father. We thank you for this opportunity and privilege we have right now to give back a portion of what you've given to us this week. And Father, we pray that it's acceptable to you, Father, because you deserve it all. And Father, you only ask a small portion that we give back to the church here for the ministries that we engage in here, and also for the support of our missionaries throughout the world. And Father, again, we count it a privilege, we count it a joy to do that, because you alone are worthy. Thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. Thank you for this wonderful day you gave us, Father. Now bless the gifts and the givers, Father, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
All right, this is time as I come to before the Lord in prayer and asking God to bless me as I preach and as I pray for the men in our church as well, as we prefer our next portion of our service this morning. So let's go before the Lord and ask God's blessings upon our service. And please, you as well, pray and ask God to speak to your hearts and challenge you from the preaching of the word today. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne, we do come, Lord, with open hearts and open minds and ears, Lord, that we have a true desire, Father, to hear from heaven today. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to put away the cares and concerns of the world, that we might be tuned in to the preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, that you might minister and speak to our hearts, that you might help us, encourage us, challenge us, and Father, maybe even convict if needed, Lord, about our life and where we're heading and what we're doing that might need to be amended or straightened, Lord. We just commend ourselves to allow you to speak to us. Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. Father, I pray that you'd bless our men here at Harvest Baptist Church, that you'd give them, Lord, strength, that you'd guard their hearts, guard their mind, their eyes and their ears. Help them to be a godly example at home for their family, at work, Lord, in their community, and of course, Lord, here at church. Help them to be godly leaders, godly men setting the example. Father, we thank you for our ladies here at Harvest and those families visiting with us today. We pray your blessings upon them. We thank you for our Harvest ladies who are desire to be that Proverbs 31 woman they might serve. And Lord, they might serve you as they serve others. Father, we thank you for them. Father, thank you for those that are serving right now. We have folks in our parking lot, Lord, just providing watch care during our service. We've got folks in the nursery providing watch care and love to our children. And those in our children's ministry teaching them as well. Father, we're so grateful for the servants here at Harvest Baptist Church that have a desire to serve you by serving others. And now, Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, may it fall on fertile ground. May we each purpose in our heart to put away the cares and concerns of the world, that we, as we read the scriptures, as we teach the scriptures, Lord, that you might work in our hearts and lives. And Father, we ask once again that you would do what only you can do in our service today. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. For we ask this in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Before our special music comes this morning, we'll just read a portion of scripture this morning. We're in the book of 3 John. 3 John, I'll read verse 10 and 11 this morning, and I believe we will finish up this section. I know verses 12, 13, and 14 is a lot of support and backup for 1 John and 2 John, so we may go right into Jude. We'll see how my study goes this week, or we may go ahead and look at those once again. But here our text this morning is 3 John in verse 10 and 11. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. And of course, he's referring to Diotrephes. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God.
And the God of the God.
right. I'm anxious to get started. I'm hopped up on caffeine because I've been up so early this morning. So hopefully I won't talk any faster than I normally do. Amen. Yeah, I have no idea why I woke up at 2:40 in the morning other than the Lord, because my wife tries to freeze me out of the house. Our bedroom is 68 degrees at bedtime. So why I woke up hot, I do not know. And I see some of you other ladies laughing because you're in agreement. You like those covers and piled up on top of you. But I woke up hot. I got up and went to the restroom and walked around the house a few minutes and went to crawl back in bed. Just me? Yeah, my wife says it's just me, because that's what I used to always tell her. Anyway, so I couldn't get back to sleep, so I got up, and like any good Christian should do, as I said earlier, I went and made a big pot of strong coffee. I put my coffee on and got my cup ready and went and sat down with my Bible, had my devotions, and then got into some other reading that I really enjoyed, and I want to share more of that tonight in our evening service. But as we look at our message this morning, for those of you visiting with us, we've been talking about the Diotrephes derangement syndrome, not to be confused with TDS. This is completely different. But to give you a little bit of a background of what's going on, in an earlier part of 3 John, John writes and he commends Gaius, who's doing a wonderful job. He's a wonderful brother, and he wishes that his physical health would be as good as his spiritual health, because he was a good man of God. And then we have that comparison contrast, turns to Diotrephes, who is the total opposite, causing a lot of problems among Christians and within the church. And we've been talking about that, and we'll wrap a good portion of it up this morning. And he talks about this morning, we have talked about Diotrephes had negative traits. Diotrephes had an attitude of animosity. Diotrephes is confronted about his deeds, and we talked about some of those things. Diotrephes made accusations. And then also Diotrephes was never content or friendly. How would you like to have somebody like that as your spiritual leader? Well, obviously, they must not have had too many people, because they also tend to run people off. And this morning, we'll look at verse 10, that Diotrephes abused his authority. It says here, he was prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. See, there are times, and I'm going to switch gears and run along this. I know this verse doesn't talk about this, but I want to just bring this in before we go on. There are times when a church may have to have and practice church discipline on one of its members because of sinful behavior. This is not what this verse is talking about, but we're going to run it parallel here just for a moment. See, the purpose of discipline is to try to restore the person spiritually, but some folks just don't want to be restored. Diotrephes was abusing his authority as opposed to using it the biblical way. He was using it to make himself look better or to rule over the people. And the problem with some people that may need to fall under church discipline, they rebel and they are just too proud to repent and to get right with God. You see, there are times when the church, again, may have to break fellowship with those who are rebellious until they repent and can be restored, because restoration is the biblical pattern of doing things. The Bible tells us in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, there's four steps in church discipline. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. It doesn't say go tell your friend to gossip about what he's doing. No, it tells you to go to him and to him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Step one. And then in verse 16 it says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Step two. And then it says that that doesn't work, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Step number three. Here's a problem that we run across sometimes. We go to someone to tell them because we want to help them, and we can't go to step number two because they get upset and say, well, I'm just not coming back. Or you end up going to the church, and they still don't want to hear and say, well, I'm not going back. So there's no restoration, there's no church discipline, there's no way to help those who bow up and rebel and say, well, I'm just not going to come back, so don't worry about step three and four, don't worry about step number two, because you won't see me again. Preacher, does that really happen? Yeah, it does. Actually, if we're all obedient and wanting to do the right thing, step one would be enough. I know when I was, Dad had to come talk to me about something. I listened because I didn't want step two, because his step two wasn't what we just read here. And I didn't want to go to step two. I was willing to be obedient unto my dad. And we need to do the same thing with our Heavenly Father. Just receive that a brother or sister loves you enough to sit down, is concerned about some things in your life that might not be right. Thank them. Pray with them. Get it settled, and it's done. And then get right back on track. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But so many people today want to bow up and have it their way and not seeing that a pastor, a brother, or a sister in Christ is only trying to help. And then in verse 17, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now, this is not the case here that we're talking about, but that's the Bible way to handle things. But Diotrephes was doing things his own way. It's obvious that you can't practice church discipline or help a brother or help a sister if they say adios and they don't want to be there to sit under restoration. But yet that's the Bible way and that's the Bible pattern. And the most uncomfortable way is to stick with step number one and say thank you and try to get things settled and right with thee, your brother, and with the Lord. You see, church discipline is not a weapon for a dictator to protect himself. Diotrephes would not receive, the Bible says, or welcome other preachers that traveled through the region at any time. He wasn't interested at all. He was a consistent snob. The reason seems to be that he wanted to take his authority and lord over the church as opposed to ministering to the church. I remember when we were traveling and in missions and preaching and calling churches, I would always ask a pastor if he gave me a meeting and would have me come in to preach, can you recommend another church, another brother, another pastor that might consider our ministry and have us in? That's the way they would do it. Diotrephes would stick a hand out and say, we don't want you and I don't want you to go anywhere else. Obviously, biblical pattern. Peter spoke about some of this. See, and his attitude. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, talking to the shepherd, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being samples to the flock. Now, let's break this verse down just a little bit, because Diotrephes abused his authority by constantly abusing others who wanted to care for other Christian travelers. Peter says, feed the flock of God which among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. So here, me as the pastor, my responsibility as a shepherd is to oversee, overwatch, to pray for you, to encourage you. And sometimes the hard things is to sit down and say, brother, I'm really concerned about your lifestyle. I'm really concerned about the direction you're going, and I really want to help you to make sure you're walking with the Lord. Now, some folks may say, well, who do you think you are? I'm the shepherd. That's my role. That's my responsibility. And if I did not perform my job scripturally, what am I allowing? I'm allowing wolves to creep in, which could hurt the church body itself. Because see, if you're a member of a local church, whether it be here at Harvest or whether you're visiting from another church here on vacation, you represent the church that you're a member of. And you should represent that church well, having a good testimony because you represent them. You remember the example I've given you in times past in my military career and later ministering to the U.S. military. Anytime I saw someone wearing the name Cook on their uniform, I would always make an extra effort to introduce myself and talk to them. And I'd always say, how well are you wearing that name, Cook? Because I'm a cook as well. My dad would always ask, make sure you wear that name well. Do we wear the name Christian well? Do we wear the name a representative of Harvest Baptist Church or whatever church you're coming from? Are you wearing that name well, representing them as we represent the Lord? See, the shepherd's responsibility is to help you to wear that name well, to encourage you, to challenge you, but not to lord over you. Use the word of God. The day that I stand in a pulpit, or any pastor stands in a pulpit to beat upon his people out of context of Scripture, it's time for him to reevaluate what he's doing. He's not the Lord over the people, but he sometimes might have to say, look out, be warned, hey, slow down. And sometimes it's publicly by not calling names, just preaching like I am today. And other times it might be in private, pulling you aside and say, hey, brother, I'm concerned. Sister, I'm concerned about some choices you're making. It's not to try to mother or father you, but it's trying to shepherd and encourage you. Because that's my role. Because one day, and we've talked about this, one day will I not only answer to the Lord as a father, as a husband, I will also answer to the Lord as a shepherd. And you as well, gentlemen, in your home, we will stand accountable for our action and for our deeds. Here, John is writing and he's telling and warning of Diotrephes, and he encouraged Gaius in the early verses, and he's being concerned about Diotrephes because of the way he's doing things. Diotrephes hindered anyone from helping other churches, other ministers, and if anyone did, he would cast them out of the church. Can you imagine that? Imagine coming to church and say, Brother Tony, you're not welcome here anymore. I heard you had an evangelist that was traveling in. You put him up in the hotel and paid for his meals. How dare you? Out with you. That was kind of the idea of what John was saying about Diotrephes. He not only not wanted you to help anyone, he didn't want to hear that you were helping anyone. Well, preacher, why was he doing that? I don't know. But John was saying he was wrong for the things that he was doing. He ousted folks and drove them away. He did this continually according to Scripture. He simply did not want to serve the Lord, and he didn't want anyone else to serve the Lord as well. I guess he was content with just however few that may have come or how many he ran off he wasn't concerned about. That is the way a backslider operates. They want others to join them in their sin and in their behavior. Dear friends, good leaders listen to good ideas. They are hospitable, and they lead by example and encourage those that are under his leadership. Again, sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. Diotrephes was hard and harsh as opposed to being, hey, let me help you in this area. Can I encourage you as a pastor? Can I help you as opposed to just hard charging and telling how wrong they were? You see, good leaders deal with problems when they arise, like we talked about last week, but with the goal of solving problems and helping those who make mistakes or even cause problems. It makes no difference. For all the years I've been in ministry, I can honestly tell you that it hurt every time somebody left a church. I thought to myself, could have I done it different? Could have I handled it a different way? Could have I said something different? Was there something else I could do to smooth it over? And I would rehearse that in my mind, and I would pray through that and think about it. And I've been so blessed here at Harvest when some of those things would happen. Some of the men would say, Pastor, you did all you could do. Pastor, you followed Scripture. And that is an encouragement. But not everyone will receive the challenge or the rebuke sometimes that is needed. And John says good leaders will approach it by trying to help them. In other words, their first goal shouldn't be disciplinary action. Their first goal should be restoration and help and encourage. See, if you abuse others with your authority, whether you are a husband, a parent, a boss, whether you're a government leader, whether you're a pastor, you may be suffering from Diotrephes derangement syndrome if all you're concerned about is ruling with your authority and mandating or dictating what others can do or should do. Good leaders seek out a way to lead and to encourage. Diotrephes abused his authority. Before we close this section of our study, I would like to offer you some help in the area of leaders, heroes, in role models. So my final point, 7 in the whole chapter number 2 today, a warning about heroes and role models. All of us have leadership in our life. All of us have role models in our life. And sometimes people don't understand and realize what that means. Everyone is in the aspect of leading or following. If you're leading, there's still someone that you are following in some sense if you have accountability in your life and desire to have that. Or
using their pattern to lead. And there's others that tend to be more natural leaders who have people who look up to them, and they have a great responsibility on how they lead and how they set examples. But what I want to talk about this morning before we close is that latter part about choosing role models. Verse 11, John says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good." That sounds like common sense, really. "He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." But yet today we live in a society. I grew up, some of you that are older than I am, we know that we grew up in a society where there are those who did good and those that did evil. Some of those who did evil at times we did not know because they didn't publicize it. Isn't it something today? I'm getting off on a rabbit trail, but just somebody stand up and shoot me in just a minute if I go too long. But isn't it aggravating today to see so many athletes want to get involved in everything else but what they're supposed to be doing on the field or on the court? What happened to the guys that just got out there and played and kept their mouth shut about politics or anything else, on whose side they were, whose side they want, whether they were canceling someone or not canceling someone? They were just playing the sport for the love of a game and trying to be a good role model for young people that watch their life. We've gotten away from so much of that in our society today. See, it is easy, even natural, to be in awe of someone who seems to have it all together. But we must be careful to follow those who have godly character and not athletes or actors or musicians in our life. A generation of young people had posters of their heroes hanging on their bedroom walls. I don't know what young people do today. All my kids are grown. I have grandchildren. I've got one in just out of college in the military. I've got one in high school. I don't know what they do in that aspect. So I can speak of my generation, some a little bit younger. But this generation, sadly, the majority of those pictures on those posters were not worthy to be role models for young Christians. Let me ask you about Hollywood and athletic heroes. When you're sick, when you're feeling down, when you're stressed out, when you're hurt, you're overwhelmed, do they come with you with the medicine and words of encouragement? Those role models, those people who you think they're role models, do they come with you with medicine, a Band-Aid, or words to encourage you? I think I could safely say, no, they don't. It was probably, or maybe today, a parent, a spouse, or a godly friend that was there to aid and encourage you in a time of crisis. The sooner you can grasp this, the sooner you will understand the difference between heroes and role models. Try to look up to folks, young people, teenagers, young people. Look up to folks that desire to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord. Not because they made a lot of money, not because they have a nice voice, not because they drive a fancy car, but they have a desire to live an example, to encourage the younger generation and to make good choices and to make right choices. Sadly, today, those are harder to find, but Lord willing, you can find it within your church family of those who want to set the example and encourage you in setting the pace as you serve the Lord. I can remember as a boy growing up, I'm not immune like anyone else. I had no posters on my wall, and I'll tell you why. My dad said, "You don't need it." And I said, "Yes, sir." You don't need to hang that stuff on the wall. You don't need those things. If you need a role model, you need someone to look to, then you find somebody in the church. You find somebody that we know within our circle that's serving God, living for God, and you look to them, and you hopefully line up with your mom and your dad and our values at church and your pastor. In fact, there was times he said, look to your pastor and to your youth pastor. It's okay to have a favorite athlete, and I did. I enjoyed baseball. I enjoyed football. I enjoyed watching those games, but even in my heart sometimes, I said, boy, I wish I could play like he plays. But I would hear my dad say, that's okay to look up to someone because they're a great athlete, but they don't need to be your role model. They might set the pace and give you tips on how to perform or how to play the game on the field, but what about life? What about your service? What about honoring the Lord? They're not likely to give you those type of tips. Dear friend, it's important, and the sooner you grasp this, the better. Don't look at athletics or worldly accomplishments to determine who you want to pattern your life after. Instead, try to emulate people with strong character who are doing things of lasting value. Choose your heroes and role models carefully. Ask the Lord to help you to focus on those things. And the best place to start, saying, Lord, Jesus is my hero. He is my role model. I'm going to try to be all I can. I want to try to be like him, and I'm going to match up with other young people that want to be like him and serve him and do those things. I want to run with that crowd, and maybe somebody in some younger generation, someone along the way might look to me. And dear friends, I can remember one of the biggest burdens I had as a boy growing up, I was the oldest. I had two younger brothers and a younger sister. And if I did something, my brothers would try to do it as well. And my dad taught me, and sometimes I didn't like it, but he would tell me, Junior, like it or not, you're the oldest. And what you do, your brothers will do. Monkey see, monkey do. They will do whatever you do. In fact, they will do pretty much whatever you tell them to do. I'll give you an example. I'll pick on my brother Gerald. This is absolutely free, not even my notes. It just came to me. We used to play cowboys and Indians with real BB guns and homemade bows and arrows. We would carve out those bows. We'd get us our string and get it together. We'd make our bows and arrows. We had a rule. If you had a Daisy BB gun, you were good to go. But if you had one of those pump pellet guns, you can only pump it once. Once. If you did more than that, you had the rest of the gang after you. That was the rules. And we'd be out there playing, and my younger brothers would always want to join us. They were younger. I was afraid they'd get hurt. I didn't want them to come with us. I didn't know what I was going to do. But here's how bad my younger brothers wanted to join with the bigger boys, and they looked up to me, and I did not set the best example this day, so I'll tell on me. So here comes my brothers. They want to be involved. They want to get involved. What can I do? You know, we don't have another BB gun. We don't have time to make another bow and arrow. But Mac, I want to play. I want to be involved. And so I said, okay. So I went to the tree. I broke off a stick. I brought him over here by the bushes. Okay, you sit in the bushes and stick this stick out. So they'll think you that you've got a weapon from a distance. And you just sit there and every once in a while say, bang, bang. And that's how I got him to play. So while everybody else was shooting him with the BB guns and the arrows, I was running flank around to get the other guy so we would win. And so the purpose, I wasn't the best example. And yes, we still talk about that today, but it wasn't the best role model in that situation. What is our role? How are we leading the younger generation? In fact, how are we leading the generation we're in with the people that look up to us? Because there are those that are our age. There are those that are of our generation sometimes that look to us for guidance and for leadership. Are we leading them? We need to choose our heroes and role models carefully. Who we look up to is largely determines who we become. Think about that for a moment. How we choose can determine who we become. This is what John stressed to Gaius back in the first 6 or 7 verses, as well as us here. And he says here, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. The word follow here is from a Greek word that literally means mimic. And it means to imitate, to emulate, to look up, or to mimic. And you know, my generation, if you're close to my age, I'm 62. If you're close to my age, probably any of you that played basketball probably had your tongue hanging out when you're dribbling and going up and down the court because you wanted to be like Mike. Wanted to be like Mike. He was a great basketball player. But dear friends, how about let's try to do all we can to be like Christ and set an example. And John says here, follow not. Don't mimic them. Follow not is a command to be obeyed. It is a principle repeated throughout Scripture. We are to stop living ungodly. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Very simple. Follow not. Don't go their way. Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 2, the first part. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Boy, again, I can remember hearing my dad, son, what did you think was going to happen if you joined that group and what you did? What did you think was going to happen? Don't follow evil. The behavior of Diotrephes was not to be followed by Gaius or anyone else. He reminds Gaius and he commends them and he follows up with Diotrephes and says, we're to be like Gaius and not like Diotrephes. Those who have the Diotrephes derangement syndrome today are not to be admired or to be copied. See, if Gaius was following his example or influence, he was to stop immediately. John was commending Gaius because he was not like the other preacher, the other house church in the community, but he was setting a godly example for those around him and those who he ministered to. He didn't have this syndrome where it was me, myself, and I, my four, no four, only me, no one else is right. He just shuttered everyone out. But Gaius tried to open the doors and minister to all that came in. We are to make sure we have good role models in our lives. Moms and dads, you're to be sure that your kids have good role models in their life. You're to encourage them to follow after those who have a desire to do right and not to do evil. And the best way to find an abundance of those type of people is get involved in a good local church where others are wanting the same thing for their family. Again, I'll tell them myself, and I was caught doing something good. You know, so often we point out when kids or teenagers do something wrong, but when's the last time you commended a teenager or a preteen because they were doing something good? I didn't know this, but we had four police officers in our church was a teenager. One of them was the chief of police at the local police department in the town that I lived in. And the other two was police officers there in the town, and another one was in the neighboring community. And I can remember coming to church one morning on a Sunday morning, and one of the police officers came by, and Brother Leopard, and he put his arm around me and he said, "Hey, I saw you last night. Saturday night, my wheels were turning. What was I at? What was I doing? Who was I with?" He just says, "I just want to say, I'm glad you were doing good. I'm glad you were in the right place with the right people, with the right type of people, setting a good example and not causing havoc." And I looked at him and I said, "Where did you see me?" He goes, "Where were you?" And I looked back and I thought back, okay, I was at the rec center downtown next to the old Kmart. We were down there playing games and video games, shooting pool, and just hanging out and laughing, having a good time. And I thought to myself, "Where were you?" And he said, "Do you think I'm going to tell you where I was or who I was?" He says, "I was undercover. I just happened to notice you because there are some things going on." And he said, "By the way, I'd like you to stay away from the rec center for the next 2 weeks. And I'd also like to tell you not to tell anyone other than your friends that were there." There was a drug sting that was going on. But I'm glad that I was caught doing something good. And let me encourage you before I go on. When you see young people and teenagers doing good, commend them. Commend them. Don't just point out when they're doing something wrong. Don't just put your arm around them and say, "I'm disappointed." Commend them when they're doing well. And let me encourage you, Mom and Dad, get your kids around others that have a desire to do right and to do good in their life and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If Gaius, again, was setting the example. Dear friends, we are to make sure that we have good role models in our life. Unfortunately, again, as I mentioned, so many athletes or Hollywood stars and music stars are not the right type of role models that we should have. Christians are not to admire or to mimic popular people whose lives are characterized by drunkenness, drug abuse, sexual immorality, sensuality, violence, cursing, swearing, and other forms of sin. There is nothing glamorous about garbage behavior. It is ugly and it stinks. We want to have our young people and our kids around the right type of atmosphere. Michelle and I have several grandchildren, and we're fortunate enough to have four of them living in the area from 5 to 15. Ages. Right now, all girls. Our daughter's expecting another one. We're praying for a healthy baby, but it sure would be nice to have a little boy. But here we go anyway. I love those girls, and I do all I can when I see them to hug their neck and to love them. And I do my best to be papaw first, but when needed to talk to them, I do. I'm encouraged when they come by and they want to talk to me, and one of them once in a while will say, "Papaw, can you put on your pastor's hat for a minute?" And I know they want to ask me a Bible question or a certain circumstance. And I'm glad they recognize that I try to separate the two as I minister and love on my kids and my grandkids. And dear friends, sometimes we have to put on the mentor, the role model, the godly example cap, and pull a friend or a brother or sister aside and say, "Hey, man, I'm really worried. Can we get together for a cup of coffee? And I really would like to talk to you about some things or concerns that I have." That's out of love. That's out of concern. That is a true role model. That's a true mentor. That's a true leader. Dear friends, if you're going to follow or mimic anyone, then mimic godly people who mimic our Savior. 1 Corinthians, and we'll get ready to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:16. If ye become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Dear friends, may the Lord help us to follow him and to have Christ-like behavior instead of that Diotrephes derangement syndrome. Don't say me first. Don't have that syndrome of derangement thinking it's me and only me, or my four no more, or I know better than anyone else. Dear friends, we all can learn something. And this morning, as the Lord woke me up, as I mentioned before, I learned something this morning about prayer. Oh, Pastor, you're the preacher. You're supposed to. Well, I don't know everything. I don't. I'm still learning it. And I hope I'm always in the gauge and the sense of learning as I grow. And the Lord taught me some things, and I want to share some of those tonight, but not now, but I want to encourage you, learn, grow, not just physically, but learn and grow spiritually. Lord, help me to be more like you today than I was yesterday. Lord, help me to latch on others who want to be like you, to follow you and to serve you, that we might serve together. Lord, help me to get my family centered and circumference around them by a good local church that they can be encouraged and see godly examples, not just examples of mom and dad, but of others. It's so amazing to me that the older I get, the smarter my dad is. I can remember in high school when it finally dawned on me that the other men in church who I looked up to, some of the police officers, some of the retired military, some of the other guys that drove the nice big nice pickup trucks with all the extras on it to have it all hopped up and jacked up in the sports cars and the other things, and I'm looking at them. I was fortunate enough that some of those men may have had some other hobbies, but they were godly men. And I was so glad one day when I realized that I'm here and this man has taken an interest in me. This young college student who loves God, serves God, has taken an interest in me and tried to mentor and encourage me because my dad made sure I was around them enough to develop a relationship. That my dad had the nerve and the backbone to go talk to them and say, hey, set a good example for my boy. Hey, do all you can to encourage him to stay faithful and to serve him. See, I didn't know that until a little bit late in my teen years. But looking back, I realize now the best example in many things that I had as a boy growing up was my dad, who cared enough to do things to make sure I was protected, to do things to make sure I was in the right place, under the right preaching and the right encouragement and the right way of being challenged and role models in my life. He made a difference. And dear friends, we need a younger generation that has the right role models, the right examples. We need more men like ladies like Gaius and none like Diotrephes, but have a desire to serve others as we serve the Lord together. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Our panelists will come. We'll have a verse or two of invitation. Maybe you're here this morning, the Lord has spoken to your heart about some things and you would like to talk to someone. You'd like to stand and pray where you're at, wherever you're comfortable with. If you'd like to come forward and talk with someone, to talk with me, that's what we're here for. This is what the invitation is all about, to give you a time to reflect about what you've heard and what God is doing in your heart and your life right now, that you might respond to that in the way the Lord would have you to respond. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Help us as we do our best to strive to be more like you and less like self in the world. Help us to strive to be more like Gaius and not like Diotrephes. To run with those who are more like Gaius and not those that are of the world like Diotrephes. Help us to make wise choices, but also help us to be leaders of men and women and set good examples. Father, bless during this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed just for a moment. Our pianos is playing, and right where you stand, or if you'd like to come at the altar and pray, but if the Lord's spoken to your heart, you do business with the Lord this morning. If you have questions, I'm happy to make myself available to talk to you later today, tomorrow, sometime during the week. It's what I'm here for. That's what a shepherd is to do, to encourage, to provide watch care, and to help you in any way that I can in your spiritual walk and life for the Lord. That you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If not, that's the first thing that you need to get taken care of. And then from there, it's much easier to find a role model, to be a role model, to live the way the Lord would have you to live. It's to first start with a relationship with Him. Where you stand there or here at an altar, if you'd like to pray, why not just respond and you do business with the Lord as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart this morning. All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. We'll be dismissed in just a moment. And as always, God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. I really do mean that. It's so good to see you folks. I'm going to make my way to the back and greet folks as they come out. And if I, again, we're glad you're here. And I trust no one leaves today without feeling like they've been treated well, friendly, and maybe even met a few people, made a few friends. If not, try to do that before you leave.